what you say here in this golden rule is just right. If you think it's right for you to give what you want, then it's right for you to give what the other person wants. And your inconsistency in that is sin.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, in today's culture, the marketing gurus want us to think only about ourselves, but not so in the kingdom of God. Hi there, I'm Bill Wright, and on today's program, Pastor Don Green continues our series titled The Golden Rule. Don, what's your prayer for us as we complete this series?
Well, my friend, I guess my prayer to God for this broadcast is twofold. One is for those of you that are not in Christ. You're not a believer in Christ. You're not truly born again. Maybe you know that, maybe you don't. Either way, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would open your heart to receive Christ and to be saved, just like he did Lydia in Acts chapter 16. For those of you that are my brothers and sisters in Christ, my prayer is a little bit different for you, but it's along the same lines. It's that you would grasp the love of God and find your contentment in Christ. He is such a wonderful Savior, and in him we have been made complete. If Christ would die on the cross for us, if God would love us like that, certainly it should naturally spill over into our relationships with others.
Thanks, Don. And friend, let's join our teacher now on the Truth Pulpit.
Jesus commands you to treat other people like you yourself would want to be treated in your relationships. This is going to deconstruct the worldview of some of you. This is just going to cause everything to collapse because it's going to expose our hearts so fully. Jesus is addressing your heart desires that go to the very core of your character in what he says in this golden rule. As I've said elsewhere in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching for keeps. He's serious with what he says here. What you want becomes the standard. And it requires a deep self-examination. And it provokes questions like this. What is it that you want in relationships? What is it that pleases you? What do you take pleasure in? What do you find satisfaction in as you interact with other people? What is it that you dislike? What is it that irks you? What upsets you? What is it that brings out the worst in you? Jesus says, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. He takes your deepest heart aspirations, your deepest desires, things for respect and appreciation and thankfulness and gratitude and all of that stuff, and he brings it right up front and center and lays it out for you to see. And he tells you to examine yourself. What is it that you want in a relationship? What is it that you want in the daily circumstances of life? Now, I'll give you a second to let those questions sink in for a moment. Beloved, here's the point. Jesus says that your responsibility before God in every relationship you have correlates to those desires. Jesus says, what you want men to do to you is what you must do to them. Your wishes, your desires, your heart longings set the course for your own conduct toward others. Wow. I mean, come on. Now, truth be told, this won't be any new revelation to you here. The truth be told is that many of us approach it in exactly the opposite way. How we deal with others is determined by how they treat us. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But my response to you depends on how you interact with me first. And so we have this little boxing match, this little sparring match going around. You're kind of dancing around. How are you going to deal with me? And then I'll decide how I'm going to deal with you. Beloved, for you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, understand that that is exactly backwards. Your interaction in relationships, as Jesus lays it out here on the Sermon on the Mount, must be determined by the righteous character that Christ Himself calls you to in the Sermon on the Mount, get this, regardless of how other people treat you. How other people treat you is not the standard. It's not even in the mix here in what Jesus says. He just asks a simple question, what is it that you want? And so, your desires, which now as a believer in Christ spring from your transformed inner man, those desires and the things that you like to receive becomes the standard by which you are to deal with others, regardless of how they respond. It's not based on the external promptings, the external actions of other people. See, this is a matter of your personal accountability before God Himself. God commands this of you in the privacy of the throne of your own heart. God says, this is the way it is to be. And the way you respond to this, beloved, is all about what you think about God and what you think about Christ and what you think about His salvation before you ever get to the person involved. You see, Jesus is speaking from His own authority to His own disciples. And so it's not our prerogative to say, well, Lord, this person's really a pain in the neck, so let's qualify this a little bit. No. Beloved, the starting point for really starting to let this golden rule transform your life is to realize this is a matter of your obedience to God. This is a matter of you rightly responding to the Savior who shed His own blood for your soul. That's the starting point here. The ending point, you could say, is going to be the recognition that He is going to one day judge you for how you respond. He is going to hold you accountable. He says, it's the people who act upon My words that are like the house built on the rock. And those who don't are like the house built on the sand. See, what I'm trying to impress upon you, beloved, there is something more important than your personal likes and dislikes at stake here. Jesus applies this to all of life. And He's saying, do unto others like you would want them to do unto you. Now, most of you understand this idea and what Jesus is really getting at here. When you give gifts, you try to figure out what the other person would like, and you give them something that they would like, not what you would like yourself. It's not like the boy who gave his mother a baseball glove for her birthday. Said, oh, you don't want it? Well, I'll take it. He did what he would have liked to have had done to him, but he rather missed the point of the golden rule. The idea of gift giving is to meet the desire that the other person has. Jesus takes that and applies it to all of life. He says, if you like to be treated according to your desires, treat others according to their desires, even if they don't reciprocate. Now, a little qualification here. Again, because of the context of righteousness here that we've been talking about, you don't gratify the sinful desires of other people. This assumes a measure of righteousness involved in what's going on. But you understand the other person. You put yourself in their shoes. Say, what would they like in this situation? That's what I'm going to do. Because that's what I would like. I would like when I'm struggling, when I'm discouraged, when I'm happy, whatever, I would like for somebody to think about my situation and deal with me according to what I would like. I like that when people do that. And you know what? Every other person is just like that. We're all on common ground here. Problem is that we're so self-centered that we just see it from our perspective and never put ourselves in the other person's shoes. Now, let me say this. Some of you do this more naturally than others. What I mean is that some of you find joy in making other people happy. I thank the Lord for that. That is great. See in this golden rule an encouragement to excel still more. Some of us Notice the use of the first person plural pronoun there. Some of us are more self-centered. And this passage tells us that Jesus is calling us to repent, to change, because he's speaking with authority. You see, beloved, think about it this way. This is really simple in so many respects. If you judge it right for you to be treated according to your desires, then you have to acknowledge your responsibility to treat others according to their desires. If it's good for you, it's good for the other person. Any other conclusion where you say, this is what I want, this is what I demand, but I'm not giving the same thing to you, is rank hypocrisy. And the Lord has a way of dealing with hypocrites, beloved. Now here's the deal. Jesus says your desires must inform your conduct in every relationship around you. It's a deep self-examination with a broad application to our relationships. We have to start saying, what is it that this other person would like? How can I conform to that? How can I meet that? That's the idea. We've seen the broad application of the Sermon on the Mount. We've seen the deep examination of our hearts that it calls us to. Point number three is this. We're going to see the golden rule in its long implementation. Its long implementation. Look at verse 12 with me again. Jesus says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, here comes the command now. Notice that you've examined yourself first. You've examined your heart first. That's the structure of this verse. After you've examined your heart and you've come to grips with what Jesus is saying, Jesus says, do also to them. Stated differently, thus also, in like manner, so also you do that. That's the idea. Now, why do I say it's long implementation? Simply, the grammar of this command requires continuous or repeated action. You can't really see this very well in the English text. It's a problem with the English language. There is a nuance in the Greek that English sometimes struggles to bring out. It's true of every language as you try to go back and forth. There's not a one-to-one correspondence of every concept and every idea. But here in this command, Jesus uses a command that requires continuous action. And here's what that means for you. Jesus says that this golden rule is to be the lifestyle of one of his disciples. This is to be the character that marks the follower of Christ. If you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm a newborn Christian, I'm born again, and all of that, that has implications. Jesus says, for my disciples, for you, he states it emphatically there, you, by contrast with anyone else, he says, my disciples, I'm talking to you. It's the idea. He says, this is to be your lifestyle. Beloved, this is in italics in my note. It must be important. This golden rule is about your character. This isn't a one-time thing that you do and then move on to something else. This is what you are to be like on a consistent basis. That you approach your relationships from that other-centered perspective. One writer puts it this way. He says, we must be careful to do and not to do all the things which we have found to be pleasing or displeasing to ourselves. You do not like unkind things said about you? Well, do not say them about others. You do not like difficult people? Well, do not let your behavior be such that you become like that to them. Close quote. Do you see how simple and obvious this is? Again, a couple of head nods for encouragement up front would be good. See, it's not about me just going through my notes here. The knot in my heart is about you grasping this and understanding it and letting that change your life. some of you, not in any personal interactions you've had with me, but some of you in other relationships can be a little bit difficult to deal with. What the golden rule says is that that is not something to take pride in. Well, I'm a man who speaks his mind. Okay, you're a man who speaks your mind. You're also a pain in the neck. You're also rude and insensitive. And if people were like that to you, you wouldn't like it. So knock it off. Change. Because it's what Jesus commands. See, Jesus says this is a call to your lifelong character. You implement the golden rule over the long haul of your life, one relationship and one circumstance at a time. Jesus calls us to a faithful persistence to fulfill this command. A faithful persistence in growing in the kind of righteousness that he calls us to here. This question comes up. What about the people that are so hard? What about the people that have been mean to me? What about the people that have really harmed me in the past? Well, I may deal with that in more detail next week. But for now, let's leave it at this superficial level and say this. Beloved, you cannot pick and choose where you apply this. You can't follow the golden rule with those who treat you well and ignore it with those who treat you poorly. No. The same Jesus who gave the golden rule also said in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So it's not about what you've received in the past. It's what you give out of your own character in response to what God has done in Christ. And beloved, when we see it from that perspective, it's pretty humbling, isn't it? Some of you will have to admit that you demand and expect more from relationships than you yourself are willing to give. You can be harshly critical of people for their failings, but your feelings get all bruised and injured if someone just approaches you about an issue in your life. It does not work that way in the Christian life, beloved. I would venture to say that there are hundreds of us in this room who just need to melt in repentance before God and say, you have exposed my sinful heart in such a profound way that I don't even know what to say, Lord, except please forgive me and change me. Because what you say here in this golden rule is just right. This is just right. There can be no argument against the validity of what Jesus says here. If you think it's right for you to get what you want, then it's right for you to give what the other person wants. And your inconsistency in that, beloved, that gap is sin. I don't know how else to say it. Jesus, through this word, calls you to deep repentance today. For some of you in the most fundamental, closest family relationships you have. Well, I have to wrap up here. What we've seen is the golden rule is a lifelong command that flows from a deep self-examination with a broad application to all our relationships. There's one point left for today. One final aspect about the golden rule that I want to show to you. Point number four is its high authorization. It's high authorization. This is a command with authority. Jesus says in verse 12, he says, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In some manner, this is a summary of 1,500 years of God-inspired revelation to his people. And Jesus, the Son of God, is connecting what he says with that authority. And from his own independent authority, the authority of the scriptures which he inspired, this speaks with the full authority of God. Jesus is emphasizing here, speaking to his primarily Jewish audience here, Jesus is emphasizing that what he is saying in this golden rule, even the Old Testament is based on this principle. Now, as an aside, because this might throw some people off, understand that Jesus is not reducing all of the Old Testament to a manual on human relationships. The Old Testament, for example, commands the exclusive worship of the one true God. It recites the history of His dealings with His people Israel. It promises the coming of the suffering Christ. It promises the second coming of the reigning Christ and the establishment of His kingdom. Matthew 7:12 doesn't speak to any of that. So Jesus isn't saying that the golden rule comprehensively exhausts the divine revelation of the Old Testament in such a way that if you know this one verse, you don't need to worry about Genesis through Malachi. That's not His point at all. Rather, the idea is that the Old Testament teaching on human relationships has a unifying thread found in the golden rule. Now, I'm going to show that to you just very briefly out of the Ten Commandments. This is only going to take a second. But in Exodus chapter 20, God gives the Ten Commandments to His people. Beginning in verse 12, you know them, at least you should. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Now, follow me because this will help you grasp what Jesus is saying here. If you simply followed the golden rule, you would fulfill every one of those commands. Because there's not a one of you in here that would like to be on the receiving end of murder or adultery or theft or dishonesty or a greedy, covetous person. You recoil from all of that. You say, that's not what I want. The golden rule says you're right. That's not what you want. Therefore, don't do it. And that unifying thread of dealing with other people in accordance with their desires becomes the unifying principle there. And that is why Jesus can say, this is the law and the prophets. This is all that the law and the prophets were trying to say. Love your neighbor. As Sinclair Ferguson said, for Jesus, the Word of God is not an impossible complex of rules and regulations placed on men's shoulders as a heavy burden. Rather, it is the outworking of this principle of love. Grasp this, and everything falls into place. End quote. That's a great statement. Now, in light of everything we've said today, surely we all feel convicted. I do. Surely, to one degree or another, we all need to repent of our self-centered approach to life and our relationships. Beloved, let us confess our sins so that Christ may cleanse us through His blood. At the same time, what I want you to see is that this golden rule beckons you to higher spiritual ground. Jesus commands this in such a way to His disciples that tells us that growing toward the attainment of that goal is in our possibility. We can change. You can be like this. Sinclair Ferguson concludes. He says, the Christian life is indeed demanding, but in essence, its principle is simple. It is knowing the grace of God working so powerfully in your heart that you are freed from the mastery of sin and self over your life. You can now serve others and bring blessing to them as the Lord has brought blessing to you. This is the kind of clear-sightedness that arises from living in the light of the judgment of God your Father. End quote. May God so transform our hearts that we would consistently do to others what we would have them do to us.
Well, this just concluded series has certainly challenged us to pursue a higher ground in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as that relationship with Him deepens, it should certainly affect the way in which we honor others every day. And as Pastor Don Green has reminded us on the Truth Pulpit, that requires a continuous examination of our heart. Don will begin a new series next time, so do join us then. But right now, Don's back here in studio, and he has some closing words.
We have seen in recent times how quickly the world can change. But the world's changing can do us spiritual good if it points us to Jesus Christ. He is the one who is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We are committed to proclaiming Christ and His unchanging Word. If our broadcast has been a blessing to you, I would ask you to go to our website at thetruthpulpit.com and just leave us a very brief note of greeting telling us where you listen to us. It would be an encouragement to our staff, and it would help us continue to bring the broadcast to your area on the outlet that you find us. May Jesus Christ bless you and strengthen you in the days ahead. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com soon. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.